Log Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hutter and put to music by the singer Shout Evenshai. What a great song. My big brother's a songwriter. How about that? This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group, chat group, poetry family that hangs out at allpoetry.com. And if you're a member or would like to join, which you can do for free, you can find us listed under the group tab. And you could call and hang out if you are interested. We'd love to hear from you. If you're already a member, also find us at that group tab. And you can call at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we have shows most nights of the week, different hosts, different topics. And if you're in the group, you can look us up on the chat wall. Each show is listed date first. And if the prompt tickles your muse, we'd love you to participate. And I am sitting here tonight with my big brother, the writer of that amazing song we just listened to, Jay Hutter. Hey, Hutter. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm sure that all of us sit there with our mute button on and sing it word for word. I mean, at least I know I do. So it's a popular ditty.
Okay, but
in the meantime, we have some people in the studio. So let's let them in. We have your nemesis, Mr. Stephen, without his Ander K. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're here.
How do we know it's
no,
him?
And I hope
no
he's
advocate.
Pampering her right about now because she's not feeling all that terrific. And and I also have my sweet pea. Welcome to the show.
Hello, darling.
Glad you're here. And sneaking in right behind sweet is none other than Mr. David Prophet, the writer of the Dark Mother Saga. Hello. Welcome to the show. Glad you're
Thank
here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Me too.
And I am going to dive right in because I happen to have it on good authority that Stephen's going to read for his lovely wife. So I'm going to start with that like I always do. And we're going to read hers, then his. And he'll push his shows, and then I'll read mine real quick because I want to make him laugh before he hangs up, and then he's going to go pamper his wife. So, soon as I see voices, I will put Miss Kay's poem, the owner of a poetic place of life. And Stephen, when you see that, will you read for your wife, please?
Yeah, this is called Reverential Temperance, Child of Calamity Milk, Void of Honey, Cloud Dreamer of Bridal Visions, Silences the Pillars of Faith, Schemes of Funerals, Isolated Grace, Suffocating the Halls of Belting Confessionals that Murals the Soul, Cold-Blooded, Matter of Fact, but Never Self-Controlled. Non-committal Baptisms, Vermeil Water with Cherry Red Aggression, Motherly, She, Well brought up and high-minded, matronly, dancing with the earth, well-proportioned, full-bosomed in the upholstered arc of the eye, descendants of buckled cards, panels, the quilt threaded in well-stacked radiance. She. End poem.
Wow. Wow, this one right from the get-go there, barefoot child of calamity milk, void of honey. That right there, calamity milk, doesn't sound like it's very healthy or appetizing. Void of honey, that's brilliant. Barefoot child of calamity milk, void of honey. Another one of those lines where I got caught. You must have been like four lines. Now, I think you were probably up to the cold-blooded part before I snapped out of how awesome I found that opening line. But like schemes of funerals, isolated grace, schemes of funerals, it makes me think of quite often when you lose someone in your family, then all the schemers is a good word, but I think it's those schemers that show up and then pull out the crocodile tears, the ones that didn't do a whole lot except poke and pick, and you think that they knew the best of everything and then left you to take care of stuff. I don't know. It's just the vultures come out of the woodwork quite often, and that's sad. Suffocating the halls. Man. Okay. And then the non-committal baptisms. Non-committal baptisms.
That was my line. My line.
Well, you can say it again. I'll try not to steal them all, but between the non-committal baptism, which, I mean, it's a pretty sad thing because at baptism you're promising to live in a certain way, and then the water has the cherry red aggression. So, like, the imagery here and the feelings and the loss. And I think even some anger and hurt, and it's a Yeah, it sounds like a family function that I've been to as well. Really powerful poem. Great read, Stephen. Patter, comment, please.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you during that. I took my meds before. That noncommittal baptism, that, now I'm all flustered. I love pictures like that. Ever since I was a kid, that's what made me want to be able to draw the pictures like that. The boom bosom, upholstered arch. See, my problem is I go back to read the part that I wanted, I make a mental note at, and it doesn't sound the same when I read it. Like you said, descended to buckled cards, paddles, and quote, threaded in Welsh like this, she. To end it like that, it's sort of cool, too. Is that the quote? Deep in earth, my love is lying. I must weep, love. Oh, wow. And honey, I miss you.
Good song. Thank you, Hatter. And David, what do you think?
Well, I really like this. I commented on, I read this a couple of days ago, and I was impressed with it then, and I am impressed with it now, and I have to agree with everything you said about it, Deb. I'm drawn down to this line, too, this noncommittal baptism. Those two words are 180 degrees out of phase with each other, but it's cool that the way Kate, utilized them in that line. And I had to go look up vermeil because I didn't know what vermeil was. And I thought it was red. And the definition that I got from it, it was, what was it, golden, I think, or something, some gold color. Anyway, I got some hints of, regret and a little bit of frustration and maybe some anger in this poem too. Sometimes these pictures like this reverberate clear of our soul and it jars loose some memories and stuff. And I think sometimes that's where a lot of this writing comes from. We just interject little bits and pieces of our childhood or our upbringing or our life into these things, and that's what makes them so special. This was really a beautiful poem. It makes me feel like I don't know how to write poetry sometimes. I tell you, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
I feel that way a lot lately.
She's good.
Great.
Really good.
Comment. Sweet, can you comment for Kay?
Absolutely. Hey, I just think the very first line takes you into something so deeply sad. Barefoot child of calamity milk, void of honey. Like there's no sweetness, there's no touchness, there's just no nothing. It's just you have this idea of a beautiful barefoot child, and then there's a void of sweetness or softness or anything in it. So I think the very first line just kind of took me back, and you go from there, and so that just—I think that kind of put the whole poem into my mind and into my heart, and I think that just—I know there's a lot of other great lines, but that is the line that just broke my heart. So, very much a beautiful poem, but a deep, deeply saddened poem just from that line alone for me.
Great comment, Sweet. And Stephen, will you comment for Kay and then read us your poem?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of nails were hit on the head with some of the comments that were said tonight, that's for sure. Because I definitely saw a lot of pain in this as well. And I even said in the point that I wrote to her, this is of someone who has completely lost themselves after their loved one passed away. If you look at the quote at the top and then the quote at the bottom, how much of a turnaround that is, and how it can happen that way as well. Yeah, I thought this was a great one.
Awesome. And if you see yours, take us away, please.
All right. I had to take the one of the stormtrooper. And I call this Order 66 made their aim say nix nix. Of stuffed stormtrooping trophies never quite had, from shaky storm marksmanship really plumb bad, since troops mirror images made ironclad, but aim flew the coop from shift very sad. Stormtrooper orders came 66 times, so storm fell on Jedi in night's darkened chimes. Troops seemed to lose eyes and reasons and rhymes, whether hunting or fishing or repenting crimes. Ivory stormtrooper mask veils pupils dilate, humming lightsabers fell to Sith storm filled with hate. Now troops forced to trample for those who berate, with appetite for control which can never be sate. Now tottering wrists of stormtrooper arms, cross-eyed shooting can't even storm barns, and troops seem to have lost any trinket charms, now beaten by Ewoks and sank in deep tarns. End poem.
Now, now beaten by Ewoks and sank in deep tarns. I don't like starting at the end, but that tickled me for some reason. Of stuffed stormtrooper trophies never quite had, from shaky storm marksmanship really plumb bad. I found this really clever. Stormtrooper orders came 66 times, so storm fell on Jedi in night's darkened chimes. Stephen, you have become such an incredible metered rhymer. And then to couple it in your storylines, I mean, so sometimes I feel weird saying this because, like, you have improved in such leaps and bounds. It's impressive. And then it makes it sound like, you know, you used to suck, and that's not what I'm trying to say at all. But so hopefully you took that as the compliment that I meant it. But, yeah, like, unbelievable. Now tottering wrists of stormtrooper arms, cross-eyed shooting can't even storm barns. Cross-eyed shooting, yeah, there's some target practice for you. I mean, this was really, really clever. And as far as that photo, I wasn't surprised one little bit at the piece of art that you chose. Just saying. But, like, you did a fantastic job, and it's a 10, and you're rapidly approaching your 450th on your way to 100 or 500. And, wow, you have 14 Star Wars poems. That's a list. Really an awesome share.
Thanks,
let me get you some comments. Mr. Hatter, you want to comment for your nemesis?
Yeah, but does he dream in rhyme yet?
I don't know.
You get that. Yeah, no, this is a clever the stormtrooper bit. You always take the best lines, but I can understand. Because you don't know if I'm going to, so you got to. Oh, before I forget. I heard they lynched that fish derby cheater.
Doesn't surprise me one bit the way they reacted, but I think that Sweet
has
a comment
on that,
too.
Did you?
I have lots of comments.
It was all over the news out here.
I got it firsthand.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, my ex-husband.
Anyway, back to the poem.
My ex-husband.
The cross-eyed shooting. I like the cross-eyed shooting. Can't even storm barns. Clever. Hit the side of a barn. Yeah.
Hold on one second, though. Say that again, please.
I said, Hatter and I will talk offline about the fisherman, because my ex-husband was actually on that tour.
They showed clips of it on the news when it happened, and they were pulling the lures out of the inside of the fish, and the men were livid. There was no mistake in how angry they were. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Right.
Back to Stephen's poem.
Will you come in for Stephen?
Absolutely.
First off, the second I saw the pictures, I was like, well, that makes perfect sense because that's you. I had no doubt. I did not know, however, that you had 14 Star Wars poems, and that's kind of shocking to me, but I don't know why. I really don't. I don't know what anything says at the top. Your title is Order 66, Make Their Aim, Say Nix Nix. I thought that was hilarious, by the way. But anyway, back to, you know, everything else about your poem. I like ivory stone creepers, mass veils, pupils dilate. I wish they would, because that would be great, because they are pretty plain-faced things. I love the poem in general because it's just hilarious, and I am sort of a Star Wars fan because I've been made to be a Star Wars fan, so I know little things about a lot of different subjects, but I do know the Stormtroopers, and I love the Stormtroopers orders came 66 times, the storm fell on Jedi and night's darkest chimes. Troops seem to lose, and that's where I'm just assuming that has something to do with Dark Vader and all of that and coming in after all the good people. But other than that, since I don't know anything, this sounded really hilarious with the cross eyes and the dilating eyes and all of that, because I really wish they would do that and you would know actually what they're thinking. But I really enjoyed the poem. Spaceball. So I like this.
I'll let you know real quick. Before they were Stormtroopers, they were just clones and they were good guys, until the Sith did the Order 66 to them all, and they all turned bad all of a sudden and started killing the Jedi. But also, when they became Stormtroopers, for some reason, they couldn't aim anymore. But when they were clones, they could aim fine. So that's where I was playing them.
Oh, see, that explained so much to me.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Stormtrooper on Spaceballs. Well, he's the gunner.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Awesome, guys. And David, will you comment for Stephen, please?
Well, this made me laugh listening to Stephen read it. It's pretty accurate when it comes to describing the Stormtroopers. I was always, well, because I used to do a lot of target shooting, I was always shocked when I watched those Star Wars movies because of what bad shots those guys were. They couldn't hit a barn if they were standing right in front of it, you know? And and so I thought that was funny. Now tottering wrists of Stormtrooper's arms, cross-eyed shooting can't even storm barns. I didn't know about the that other thing about what you just explained about the 66 stuff and that transition that these guys went through, these clones. It's an amazing four stanza poem. It has a lot to say in those four stanzas, and I agree with Deborah on the rhyme and meter in this. It's the mechanicals are perfecto in it. And I too have noticed a huge change in your writing style, and it's all for the good, you know. And of course, having a wife that writes the way she does, I imagine a little of it rubbed off on you. I know it would me if I was married to someone like that. But yeah, this is really cool. I really enjoyed this. I knew when you picked this thing and I saw it up there, I thought, oh, this is going to be good. So anyway, well done, Stephen. This was good. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
I got a question, Stephen.
Hmm.
The in order best to worst, or worst to best, the top four Star Wars movies.
From worst to best, top four?
Yeah. Or the first four.
Well,
the first four.
Well, and the best ones, obviously, episode 4, 5, and 6, you know, Star Wars, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. But the worst one, I don't know which one I would have to go with. Probably the 1979 Christmas special.
Okay. Awesome.
Pigs in Space.
Right.
Have you ever seen Pigs in Space?
Before I read mine so that you can go, Stephen, will you comment? I mean, will you tell us about Poetic Collective first?
Oh, yeah, let's see. Our next show is the Poetic Inklings at 7:30 Eastern on Wednesday. There's an author named Sarah Orne Jewett. Kay brought a story from her last year around this time. I believe it was called The Night Before Thanksgiving. So we have some poems from her and quotes as well from her to write to in Wednesday's folder. Check those out. She's very talented. I remember that story was very sad, but I don't know if all of her stuff is sad. I have to look more into it. Movement of Sound is on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And because of the time of year it is, we figured it would be good to bring Alice Cooper. So we're going to listen to Alice Cooper music. We're going to learn about that music, and we'll read some poems inspired by those songs. Something different. The request is Friday, also at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and we are bringing one of the cheesiest movies ever made in the Halloween series. Halloween 3, The Season of the Witch, the one that had nothing to do with Michael Myers, but had to do with masks that would turn kids' heads into insects and snakes. And, yeah. And as Kay calls them, the Spring, Tom Atkins stars in this movie. So we're going to get quotes from that movie to write to. Check it out. We're going to have some fun that night talking about that movie. And then Sky's show is Saturday. Storyboards with S. Darkholm. And what is she doing this time? Pan's Labyrinth. Character rights, scene rights, quote rights. Come and geek out with Sky. 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. That's all I got.
David Bowie's Labyrinth?
No. This is Pan's Labyrinth. It's totally different. Actually darker, I think.
Cool.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun shows, and I think I wrote to one or two of those already, so that's cool. I have a head start. Okay, now, if you click on mine, I don't always – I rarely write to my shows unless it's a dedication for somebody, but I couldn't pass up a chance to write this one. So tell me when you see it, Hatter.
Okay. Get there. Oh, I clicked the wrong button. Hold on. Just try it. Yeah. I have it. Visiting the Wonderland Under the Sea.
All right. Here we go. Yep. Okay. Visiting the Wonderland Under the Sea. Neptune is the Merman Teacup King, and his trident is forged in spade tips. Bow at his flippers to kiss his ring, or he spears the flesh till the skin rips. Then the slices and the gashes sting as blue-tinted blood spills heated drips. Caterpillars skip to chrysalis, sprouting wings colored in opaque blues, to swim butterfly strokes for Alice in the metal teacup filled with booze. Hatter spiked a brew with mushrooms, too. Now the cat with the grin is a rat. The white rabbit is diced for stew, for feeding the goldfish in the hat. With the hookah pipe too wet to light, Chef Flamingo baked seaweed brownies. Folks gobbled those edibles on sight, served with two trays of crackers and cheese. But then as they gazed light trails, pastel and white, the March whale ate them like krill from the seas, all in just one giant chomp, gulp, and bite. And pull.
March whale. Stevie, what do you think?
Yeah, this is great. I'm glad I was muted. I couldn't help but for some reason help to think of Neptune yelling out off with his head with the imagery in this piece. I like the idea of the Cheshire Cat being a rat now. Because I guess that's him up there. That's a hell of a grin to see, though. Just the grin, that would scare the hell out of me with those fangs. But yeah, I like the imagery in this and the March whale too, instead of the March hare. I think this is a great transition from Wonderland on Earth to Wonderland of the Sea. Very cool.
Is that what you see in that picture? Oh, sorry.
And tell Kay we hope she feels better. I appreciate you calling. Yes. Have my respect.
Please tell Kay, yes.
Will do.
That's not what I see in that picture. What do you see, Dave, Stephen? Or did you already leave?
Yeah, he had to go.
He had to go, okay.
Me, you, Sweet, and David.
David Sweet, what do you see in that picture right off? What is the first intuition, your first image that you're going to, or thought that you're going to write about?
Are you asking me, Heather?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
You and Sweet.
I saw that, and I saw the picture of that cat, I guess it looked, and I agree with you, it looks more like a rat. I didn't know what to do with that, and so I passed on it, but Deb sure dialed it in good. She kind of mixed in a little bit of Alice in Wonderland with that, you know, the caterpillar and the Cheshire Cat and all that stuff, and Alice and then you spiked the brew with some mushrooms too. It's pretty cool. I had to giggle, had a smile on my face all the way through this. It was really amazing. Great storytelling, Deb. I really like this. Bow as his flippers to kiss his ring, or he spears the fish till the skin rips, then slices and gashes sting as blue tinted blood spills heated drips. You know, I kind of think this artist likes blue, because it's an awful lot of it in all of the pictures.
but
really like this poem. You did a real fine job with this, Deborah Lee, and I'm going to pin it on my profile. It's just great. Makes me feel good to hear, read it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And like, in answer to Hatter's question, I looked at it and I saw the rat first, okay, and it's got the grin and the markings of the Cheshire Cat. And then I looked further and realized caterpillar had wings. And then I thought, okay, there's no Queen of Hearts. It's a King of Spades. And then it just, I couldn't leave that for anybody else. I took it down, wrote me, and then I've been playing with it. But, like, the white part of the face of the fish, so there's no rabbit, now there's a fish. And I don't know.
That's what that
is. Yes. And then... plus, there's a bigger picture. What you can't see under there is, like, there's a cup of tea and there's a few other things. But the artist, who happens to be Greg Crayola Simpkins, has that one blocked, so you can't pick it up. But anyway, I started with the coloring of the rat looking like the Cheshire Cat, and a poem was born. But anyway, yeah. So
that's the biggest... So that's the King of Spades.
If you look at it, it's the King of Spades, but his trident even has three little spades. I mean, it's just, you got to blow it up to see it, but it was fun.
Okay, without blowing it up, that's not what I saw. I saw him going, have you seen him? Like, have you seen this man? Cool. Yeah, then I thought, well, maybe that is a self-portrait, because the bottom of it sort of looks like the fantail on the card, I said, maybe it's painted by numbers. He's painting the fish.
Well, see, the thing is, if you would have wrote something in that reference, that's how it would have came out for all of us.
I'm just asking first impressions of you guys as well, because it's a very, very, now that I see that it's the, if I blow it up, it's going to be the Ten of Spades, right, or the King of Spades?
King of Spades, but the king is actually a merman.
Okay.
Let's move on. It's only the third poem, and we're half hour in, I think.
sorry.
So it's my sweet turn.
I think it's wonderful the way you took this. If Hatter wants to know how I took it, I would tell you that it would have absolutely been a long story about a card shark in Atlantis, just so that you know.
Card.
I don't know.
Very good.
Card shark in Atlantis. But I would have never been able to come up with this story, which is brilliant. And I love the way it's written. New tinted blood spills, heated drips. How do you come up with this stuff? I'm always so jealous of your words and your combination of words. Swims butterfly strokes for Alice, and the metal teacup fills with booze. I mean, you took us literally to the seas of Wonderland, and I am just jealous as all hell, because I would have loved to have been able to do that. And I do love the krill and the giants and you know, folks gobbled those edibles on site, served with two trays of crackers and cheese. I just really like that a lot. I love everything about this poem, Deb. I think it's just brilliant. And it makes us believe in Wonderland horror stories, and I think you're the best at it.
Oh, geez, you're making me blush. But, I mean, come on, don't you see the Cheshire cat in that rat?
Oh, my God, I do, because if you look at the side of it, because kind of the eye of the dragonfly or whatever it is, that kind of looks like the Cheshire cat is, like, peeking into whatever conversation.
Oh, down the bottom, that's the caterpillar.
Having. Right, and I know
that's
it's the caterpillar,
with caterpillar wings.
But, yeah, but when I first glanced at it, I saw the Cheshire, like, the cat. But it's all very Alice in Wonderland. A lot of his photos, I saw Alice in Wonderland in. A lot of his pictures, I actually did. Because he's got three of them
straight
up.
I agree. He's really good. I had so much fun writing this one.
That's great. I love it.
I didn't even
notice that it was a mermaid or a triton or anything. Mine would have just been, oh, card shark. That's what I immediately, under the sea, trying to ping, that would have been my stance on it. But
oh, wow.
I couldn't have done this.
He's even got the king, you know, the crown on, and like I said, his trident, the little tips are spades.
Yeah.
It's really cool. You just blow it up when you get a chance. But no, it was fun. But like, that's enough fussing over me. Let's move on. But before you read, let's say hello to
you.
AP. Hello, AP.
Hi, Deb.
Save me from this.
How are we?
They're fussing.
How you
much.
Going? Oh, well.
Hey.
Just about somebody else, if you like. No, it's all good here. All good here.
Awesome. My sweet, show us what you got.
I certainly will. Wait, that's your poem, not mine. Might want to go to mine, huh? Let's see. I got to refresh. Okay, here it is. Watered down red popsicle smiles. Slurping sounds from watered down red popsicle smiles. Stop Snow White's bluebird song in mid-whistle. Giggling sounds rebound from echoes of a wild child. Cinderella whispers to her creatures, hiding away in the thistles. Cotton candy lemon drops sweetly dripped in white fence illusions. Happy life on a house, a washed out dream in colored schemes. Little girl on tilt-a-whirl, peaks in rainbow shades of confusion. Shy boy high in space, tries too hard, and runs away to seclusion. Party down in Wonderland, where a madman in a hat is the solution. Ignore the promises of the hands of time, for the Reaper is coming. Restless in the skin of sin, there is a countdown to restitution. In monochrome colors, false reels of Pleasantville keep running. Above the moon made of cheese, a monster in a spiral. A liar's icon with a smile to con a child. Beware his grin. But Mickey Mouse has lost his head, and his skull is in denial. Now he swims in the river Styx, and the Wicked Witch, no rivals.
And wow. She was.
My, oh my.
Wow.
I know, right? I don't even know which one to pick. Watered down red popsicle smiles. Man. Cotton candy lemon drops sweetly dripped in white fence illusions. I love that metaphor, white fence illusions. Little girl on a tilt-a-whirl pukes in rainbow shades of confusion. Sweet, this is really, really good. Oh, man. Shy boy high in space tries too hard and runs away to seclusion. I mean, party down in Wonderland where the madman in a hat is the solution. Hatter, you're in my poem. You're in Sweet's poem. I don't know. Above the moon made of cheese, a monster in a spiral, a liar's icon with a smile to con a child. Beware his grin. Something about that makes me think of an Alice Cooper song, actually. You'd force feed a diabetic a candy cane. You'd even gift wrap a leper for your Aunt Jane. That's, for some reason, it goes right along with that, a liar's icon with a smile to con a child. It's got the same kind of feel as that song. But, like, I think that, because, like, I looked at this, and mostly I looked at it because the damn butterfly is a crayon, but I couldn't get past that Cheshire Rat, so I didn't. But I don't think I could have come up with something like this. Slurping sounds from watered down red popsicle smiles. I had to go back and say that one more time because what a way to start a poem. Brilliant as always, my sweet, filled with great images, packed with metaphors and your sweet pea singular brilliance there. Really fun share.
Yeah. Okay, enough fussing.
Mr. Hatter.
Thank you.
Think of Sweet's poem.
It's all good till I'm in your dreams. No, I love the. I love the anytime you go into Wonderland, and you do it so well. But I see Cinderella's name's been mentioned. What's up with that? No, I'm kidding. That was, I like the pictures. See, some of these pictures, I usually don't grab mine until everybody else has got theirs already, be the late, seems like. So I don't get to see these at the beginning. This is a cool picture. It's sort of weird. I like how you drew the storyline from there. Very good.
Yep. Thank you.
From one sick mind to the other. Very nicely done.
Awesome. Yeah,
everywhere above the moon. No, the ending, I love the ending the most. Above the moon, made of cheese all the way to the end. Very good. Very good. Spot on. Going on a list.
Thank you, Hatter, very much.
Awesome sauce. David?
Well, you know, speaking about this banner picture here, that's a really quite a picture of Mickey Mouse with an evil grin on his face, and he's standing on an orange and silver banded hammerhead shark. That's pretty bizarre. And then they're flying around this skull, you know, with a scene in the background and orange Crayola with wings barking around and what is it, a parrot down on the bottom? I don't know. But anyway, no, I really like this. I thought you did a really good job with this, Pam. And the I like the sarcasm in it a lot, you know. Snow White's Bluebird song, stop Snow White's Bluebird song in mid-whistle. Giggling sounds rebound from the echoes of a wild child. Cinderella whispers to her creatures hiding away in the thistles. This is really some great storytelling, really outstanding. And the way you put this together and the way you tilted it, I really liked it. It's really cool. It's really cool.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment first week?
Yeah, it's really, I love how you got the sense of the image that Mickey Mouse has a certain sort of look on his face, and grabbing a liar's icon with a smile to con a child, beware he's green. I just love that line. I think it just captures that look and just captures that feel of this icon brilliantly well.
Thank you, because that's what the whole poem is based on.
Way cool. Thank you, everyone. And if you would click on the link for Titus, I will push this recording.
Deb, I got to step away for a second, for a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay. And here we go.
Forever and a day I sit to secure my position in the laps of the gods. Hardship has promised a never-ending story. A boy who sees and speaks a love that prods conscious, unsuspecting hearts. Pain, the glory which to love has secured a silence. It brings uncanny resemblance to a world I live. A past, present, and a future was it. Euphusium sings about the songs of long ago. And so downcast mutism provides a wild yet ill-lamented chair where I am sat until it was a grandfather smiled. Spake of nature walks as if it were godly care. Given the air of sophistication for this child, fern and flame were to explain this milestone. Was that to be the millstone around my neck? Work holds nothing other than a time I bemoan. The hurt others feel, it seems I do cross-check. Reaching out to the ebony, the womb for whom seeing is believing, a parchment will be found, like a mushroom. Without the doom or gloom, the throne I sit holds a moral virtue, sound patience. My love, it consists of a sugar-sweet sincerity. The gods do speak, oh yes, it is a wine. To toast their patience, it is a secret so discreet. You'd think so divine the angelic love was thine.
My goodness. You know, I really like the fact that even when it's not a requirement on a particular week that you guys still dig into the word bank. I noticed that Titus used a bunch of them in the second half of his write. To secure my poem in the laps of the gods, hardship has promised a never-ending story. Hardship has promised a never-ending story. What a threatening thought. What a sad, gripping.
Also,
yeah, like the future is a never-ending hardship. Yeah, I've had those days. A boy who seeks and speaks a love that prods. The homing in on Pinocchio there with the boy who seeks and speaks. I like the cleverness of this. I like where I am sat until it was a grandfather's smile. Spake of nature walks as if it were godly care. I like Also, where was that? Work holds nothing other than a time. I bemoan the hurts others feel. It seems I do cross-check reaching out to the ebony. But the thought of bemoaning the hurt somebody else feels is one of those, it's better to hurt than the song, pain. I'd rather feel pain than nothing at all. So a lot of different things are going through my mind with the words that he chose tonight. The throne I sit holds a moral virtue, sound, patience. My love, it consists of a sugar-sweet sincerity. I just, there's between the sadness and the thought of the sugar-sweet sincerity and the visuals and the closing two lines, to toast their patience is a secret so discreet you'd think so divinely angelic, love were thine. You would think, so it's just like, I think that he added to the compassion for Pinocchio in this, and he did it really, really well. And even the music in the background had a soft, sad tone to it. Forever and a day, I sit. And just sit and wait. And just that title is really sad. Forever and a day, I sit. Sit. That's it. I mean, wow. Another great piece, Tony. Thank you so much for sending it in. I appreciate it, and I like listening to you read. Thanks. Sweet, what do you think?
Poem that is the willful of desiring someone or something that is so endearing, he's willing to sit through pretty much anything to just hold time and wait and think of and be patient and be discreet and be what he needs to be. I mean, uncanny resemblance to the world I live, a past, present, and future was it. I don't know how to say the word. Is it impuism? Impuism? Sorry, guys. But I know that, but it kind of, you know, that's the deliberate of, you know, classical, remote knowledge of all kinds, constantly being, you know, it's almost repetitive singing about songs of long ago. And a mutinism provides a wild yet ill-laminated chair. But I like that whole thing, but still constantly talks about, at least to me, the wanting of something and how patient he will be to get it, because it's that was wild. And I think I fell in love with that kind of thought process, to want something so special and so endearing.
Awesome comment, sweet. Thank you so much. And David?
Well, you know, when I look at this picture prompt, the little boy looks like a puppet, you know, like, you know, I don't know. It looks like he's waiting for something to happen. And, you know, like he's sitting there and he doesn't want to, you know, do anything to upset anything, and he's sitting there holding his toy tiger, I guess that is, I don't know. You know, it's like pretty soon something is going to happen, and it's going to turn him from a Pinocchio into a little boy, a real human being. That's kind of what I took away from it. The second stanza, first line, given their air of sophistication for this child, fern and flame were to explain this milestone. Was that to be the millstone around my neck? I like the way he combined milestone and millstone together, you know, juxtaposed between the two lines there. I thought that was kind of clever the way he did that. This was really interesting. When I was listening to him read it, he really did a fine job of reading it, and the music fit the poem really well. Yeah, I like this. I thought it was real interesting, albeit kind of sad. But and then that one comment about this radical-looking chair that's pushed in there somewhere. I don't remember where it's at now. But anyway, it struck me as well. So it was a cool poem. It really was.
Great comment, David. Thank you. And AP, what do you think? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting poem, and it's an interesting image where the boy's sort of sitting there and has that sort of look on his face, and you think, what's that look about? And sort of where Tony took it was that, you know, he'd seen so much and gone through so much and gone through so much pain that basically he was sitting there in silence waiting what the next thing would happen would be. And it's a really interesting way to think about it, because it's a young person who's already seen so much, and yet they're in the midst of all of this, all of these clouds that are tearing at them. And I just thought it was a fascinating way to actually look at that image and look at the way that boy was portrayed. Really neatly done.
Awesome comment. Thank you, everyone. And hold up 1 second, Hatter. I don't know how longer you have left, Sweet. Do you want to push your show before Hatter reads, or are you not available this week?
No, I am available. I'm just running behind. I am working on my board as I am talking to you guys, so I will talk about that, and then I will have to run. Tomorrow night, we are continuing our Horror Writer series with Peter Straub and Clive Barker. I don't know if a lot of people know that Peter Straub did win the Bram Stoker Award for writing. He has quite the collection of horror writing, including Tulia and the Ghost, Tulia Ghost Story and The Talisman, which he co-wrote with Stephen King. But if you are unaware of Clive Barker, then I don't know what plant you're living under. But Clive Barker is the writer of the Hellraiser storyline. And he's also a prominent illustrator for a lot of comic books around. So those are the two writers that we're going to look into tomorrow. And then the final writer of the month, of course, for October's Horror Writer Series will be Stephen King. So those are the next couple of shows that I have coming up. And once again, I apologize, my boards are not up because life has just got me running crazy. But that's what's coming up tomorrow night is Peter Straub and Clive Barker, two of my favorites. So I will have quotes from their books and a couple of other things up. But write as you may about anything that the subjects they have, ghosts and vampires and hellraisers and demons and everything like that. I welcome all.
Sounds like fun. See you then, my sweet.
All right. Thank you, guys, and thanks for listening.
Bye.
Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, sweet.
Bye, Dave.
Keep the day.
Okay, Hatter, go ahead and read, please.
You okay?
Yeah. Yep. Let me get there. Another rush job. Where is it? There it is. Okay. The hair's got eyes for you. The picture's if you look at it. A rabbit with six eyes. Everybody got it?
Got it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I hope it goes well. Go with this. Detour the road that keeps the pies. Show, slow to a crawl, the hare's got eyes. Ask if she's hairless or just in disguise. Don't stare at the hare that's got six eyes. See to the point six different ways. They cannot allow you to have it your way. Keeping one close to tell no lies, tracking the most with the other five. Sun kissed, peeling, stripping for fun, teasing the poet that talks in puns. Hair hunting is lost with nothing to ride.
dragon's breath whiskey that pours from the sky, sky, sky. Standing amongst shadows, trying to decide if there was something missing or trying to hide. Is it wrong for me to ask of you the things that aren't even, but a little askew? A Wonderland rabbit is not like a hare. Some are more crazy than some to compare. The hare I can speak of, and I'll share the facts, but please don't ask me about Wonderland cats. They cry with one eye, they try with two, they cannot be happy unless messing with you. Only one can tell you how, when, or why, because they can't read with the other five eyes. I had to butt it up.
I kind of like how you did the eyes. I think that you have sky on the brain, and it makes you triple things every now and then. But I couldn't wait to see.
Sky told me one time that she no longer, when she hears the word Alice in Wonderland, the words Alice in Wonderland or the Mad Hatter, she no longer thinks of the character, but she thinks of me. So every time I could put in sky, I will. Echo. Never mind. Hello. Deb, are you on mute?
Hello, Deb.
Yes. The other phone died, and I dialed in on this one, and I was talking and realized I never pushed the button in the studio. But, I get a kick out of the skies, of the eyes, because you know, of how often you say the sky thing. But touching on what you just said about Sky saying that when she hears Hatter or Wonderland, she thinks of you now instead of the character, I'm fairly confident that all of us think of you first when we hear Hatter and Wonderland before anybody, Alice or any of the other ones. You're Hatter
now,
that
was my plan to take over before I take over.
Oh, is that what it is? It's working quite well. You got to listen to me. You got to singing your poetry before shows, and all of us think of you as the Hatter. Like it just is. Just like AP is the man from Snowy River, you're Hatter. But I like standing among shadows, trying to decide if there's something I'm missing or trying to hide. Is it wrong for me to ask of you the things that aren't even but a little askew? A Wonderland rabbit is not like a hare. Some are more crazy than some to compare. As usual, it's got your awesome rhyme and flow and wit. And they cry with one eye. They try with two. They cannot be happy unless messing with you. I mean, really awesome, Hatter. And like when you started reading, I was trying to figure out what you meant. Let's see how it goes. But then when you got to the eyes, it was smoother. I could tell you have fun with it, and that's the most important. But I think it's awesome. You brought the art to life. Fun share.
Thank you.
David, what do you think?
Did you say me,
David?
Deb?
Yes, I did. And AP, will you put your poem on the board while David's commenting?
Sure.
This has a certain magical quality about it that follows Hatter's poetry around all over the place. I've never seen anything like it. It does remind me of some sort of a fairy tale. It could be. Perhaps it is, but I like the way you wrote this in couplets. That's cool. And you know, when that part about dragon's breath whiskey that pours from the sky, when I heard that, you know, we're always saying that about sky, and it's a loving way we kid with her and play with her and stuff. And I thought that was neat that you did that and put that in there because she's part of the family. And I know she'll be tickled when she sees that. A Wonderland rabbit is not like a hare. Some are more crazy than some to compare. different species of rabbits too. That's cool. Yeah, this is really fun. I really enjoyed listening to you read this. It's just premier again.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment for Hatter and then show us what you got?
Okay. Well, look, it's really interesting, Hatter. I like this a lot. I like the six eyes. I like how you picked it up and you started with it at the start. I liked how the final line went back to the five eyes. And I ended up having to give you a suggestion, which is rare.
Yeah,
but I like
absolutely.
How you start. They cry with one eye. They try with two. Three cannot be happy unless four missing with you. And then it rolled into the five.
Yeah.
At the
That's
what I'm saying.
I had that in my mind to try to work that kind of numbers in, but I failed to get something. No, that's good. I like it. Yeah, write it.
Yeah.
Did you write that in your
comment?
I'll
write it in the comment for you. They try with three cannot be happy unless four missing with you. And then it sort of rolls into the five. I just thought it was really – but I really like the poem. It's a really fun poem, and it really plays with the picture and it plays with the image beautifully well.
Yeah, after mentioning the puns, I figured I'd better write some puns in there.
No, it worked really well.
Cool.
Great
thank
comment,
you. Thank
everyone.
You.
Time to dive with me.
I will start with the author's note at the end. It's a slightly surreal image, and so what would happen if this world was shown in the image, existed for just an instant, if blown together into space? This is Menagerie Surreal of Villanelle, and it goes a little bit like this. Hour is struck, according to Eel, tumbling the sprawl shimmers in braille. I'm Gumby, damn it, demise seal. Hand past English ramp, seal. Bumbling still, cacophony flails. Hour is struck, according to Eel. Blackbirds and wings sweep to reveal, crumbling edifice, moments fails. I'm Gumby, damn it, demise seal. Amongst stars, there's a grouping steel, rumbling vibration departs scales. Hour is struck, according to Eel. Upon nest hidden, squawks on keel, stumbling excess off world exile. I'm Gumby, damn it, demise seal. Menagerie finds surreal, humbling remnant brief silence wails. Hour is struck according to Eel. I'm Gumby, damn it. Demise seal. End poem.
I'm Gumby, damn it.
Yeah, I'm telling
hilarious.
You.
That's
that was really, really cool. Your variety of genres in the Villanelles is really, really getting bigger and bigger all the time. I can't believe, wow. I'm Gumby, damn it. All of a sudden, the theme song from Gumby is playing in my head now. I'm looking to see if Pokey's in that picture anywhere. But like blackbirds and wings sweep to reveal crumbling edifice, moment fails. I'm Gumby, damn it, demise seal. I mean, this is playful and funny. Amongst stars does a groping steel, or is that grouping steel, numbing vibrations to part scales. Hour has struck, according to Eel. Struck, the Eel, electric Eel. So like I said, it's fun, extremely playful, and I don't know if I can remember giggling through a Villanelle before. I think you've gone dark with them. Of course, there's a lot of them that are beautiful and sentimental, but this is like, the fourth or fifth different type of genre that you've pulled these into? it's really cool to see you having so much fun with them. I think, you know what, it might even be more. You have to go look on your page now, because I remember saying more than once, I can't believe that you took the villanelle in this direction. And one was the dark one. It was like, wow. So kudos for all the fun that you're having, taking these in so many different directions. This is really, really cool.
Thank you.
What did you think?
I'm wondering if my little sister knows the character. Of course you do, right? Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
He came in green face.
Mm-hmm.
I know who he is. I'm just picturing, like I said, that he was once a little green glob of clay, but you can see what Gumby can do to the, you know, in my mind. And I can picture Eddie Murphy in his costume and all. I could tell that he had a lot of fun with it. And do your own comment.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I wasn't criticizing you. I was just pertaining to the references, if there was the connection that we all saw. I just wanted to make sure. No, Gummy Dammit, the first time you read that, I couldn't take the smile off my face. That was just hilarious. That was it, because you guys get Saturday Night Live down there from back in the day?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Why do you know that? You're a fan? Yeah.
We get Saturday Night Live down here, and I remember seeing it patter, and it was one of those sort of iconic moments, really, and
absolutely.
And the so iconic as well, and so. Yeah, so that's why I used it.
Yeah. Well, he took a big chance coming in green face, because, you know, that's all I'm politically incorrect.
He did. Absolutely.
Get it.
Absolutely.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
It was very good. Very good, AP. I love it.
Thank you. Thanks, Alex.
Awesome comment. And David? Dave, are you muted?
I'm muted.
Yeah, I was muted. I apologize. Actually, I was pretty amazed at the way you took this prompt and, you know, and hit it every now and then told a story besides, you know. I'm not real familiar with the Gumby too much, but I thought it was interesting. Among the stars does a grouping steel, rumbling vibrations through parts, scales. Hour has struck, according to Eel. it was fun, and it put a smile on my face listening to you read it. You did such a fine job in reading it. This was a good poem. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Doug. Thank you.
Sure.
And like I'm looking at the picture closer now at the they look kind of like a Tootsie Roll with hair. But I like how, like I said, you took it, and then you put, but no, it's so cool how it turned out to be Gumby. Like, I don't know, you're on a roll for sure as far as variety and fun and the unexpected. So, like, don't stop drinking or eating, whatever it is you're drinking and eating down there in Oz or whatever part of the world you happen to be running around in these days. But for the benefit of Mr. Dave Prophet, I am also about to I'm going to put Gumby Dammit on the board if I can get it to pick Gumby. Ah, here's one. Cool. So if you look at the board, Dave, you can see the character that influenced the man from the Snowy River, and it is coming at you right now.
Let me get back over there. Let's see.
And the look on his face in this is priceless. You can almost hear him saying, "Go."
Yeah, there he is.
Oh yeah. Okay. I remember it now. Yeah. That's funny.
He's a demon. I feel like a demon.
Cool. Okay, so David, yours is on the board. And here comes
okay.
the more blue part.
Yeah. You know, when I wrote this, I thought, boy, this is silly. Probably the silliest poem that's going to be on there tonight. And I was wrong. So it seems like they were all kind of strange. Anyway, this is called What Should I Say About Blue Jay Way? What should I say about Blue Jay Way? Annie Over goes out of her skull to play. Annie, what does the Blue Jay say? Chrome Spanish dancers in blue decay. Pirouettes in a clumsy ballet, much to poor Annie's dismay. She shouldn't play with slugs that way. Even the homeless ones are straight. Annie's a very strange one, daughter of the last son of a gun. Multicolored Annie's colors run from indigos into everlasting dun. Her round head, not quite homespun, her two sharp spikes, mostly undone. Gold inlay upon her head by someone, most likely done by a hired gun. Blue Jay holds Simpkins' blue Crayola, bird songs not open to any payola. Sings along with Greg's somber viola, sips offerings from his flat Coca-Cola. Sits atop a pewter eggshell skull, dropped off by a Livingston seagull, whose once bright silver, now quite dull, with a hole in the top to remove Annie's cull. David, my man, is that a rose for me? And necklace for me, I see. How sweet it tis of thee. Take tea with me at 3. Ah, my queen of the universe puts her love to me in verse. Once upon a time, her manner's quite terse. My dedication to her, she will reimburse. In gunpowder and cotton candy, she sweats. Hot and bothered by her many assets, iridium whispers promises of no regrets. Her beautiful nucleosynthesis she begets. All this and Blue Jay's way from yesterday's into today. You can hear her singing while she prays to her almighty God that always stays forever in her heart, her words of praise, an angel of God. She's made that way. I no longer know quite what to say. End poem.
Awesome. I like the pirouettes and the clumsy ballet. Much to poor Annie's dismay. She shouldn't play with slugs that way. Even the homeless ones are stray. I like the mono rhyme per stanza. It came out really cool. Her round head, not quite homespun. Her two sharp spikes, mostly undone. Gold inlaid upon her head by someone. Most likely done by a hired gun. You had some fun here too, David. David, my man, is that a rose for me? And pearl necklace for me, I see. How sweet it is of thee. Take tea with me in 3. Wait a minute. Let me go back here. Okay, Annie. No, it's down. Here we go. I knew that there was a nod in there. In gunpowder and cotton candy, she sweats hot and bothered her by her many assets. Iridium whispered promises of no regrets. Her beautiful nucleosynthesis she begets.
Mm-hmm.
Got to throw that
yeah.
science in there, too. I thought that was cool. To her almighty God that always stays forever in her heart, her words of praise. I think that this was cool, David, and the rhyme pattern's fun, and the images are fun, and that last line of the first stanza, chrome Spanish dancers in blue decay, for some reason that just tickled me. I'm thinking, you know, that maybe the jewelry box was broken with when the tiny dancer came up. It came out really cool. I'm glad everybody had so much fun with these. That's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
Fantastic share. Let me get you some comments. Let me see here. Hatter, will you please comment for David?
Sure. Yeah, I like the way the rhyming structure. That's hard to get away with what you use in the same sound, rhyming sound, without feel either sounding forced, but you did it the pattern is so sound and it's so spot on, you don't notice that at all. This is well done. You went right into one, the other, even back to back on the one gun run done, spun undone, someone and gun. That's not an easy trick to get by, but you did it very well. What was the other part? I guess that was it. That was it. The musical. I was just more impressed with the rhyming sounds that you stuck with and didn't sound forced at all. So good job.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Comment. And AP, can you comment for David and then read Ludo for me, please?
Yeah. Well, look, I followed the rhyme pattern too, Dave, and I was most impressed with the end rhyme. And you then went into Crayola and Payola, and I thought to myself, holy shit, he's not going to do a double sort of rhyming verse of Crayola and Payola, is he? Cause that's really starting to get out there into the Ayatollah, Motorola, and Golf type of zone of golfer. And you didn't, thank goodness. But you stuck it, and you stuck it really well. I really love the story, and I love the monorhyme. It's really tough to do, as Hatter said. And you stuck with it, and you came out the other side brilliantly well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, AP. It means a lot to me.
Awesome comments, everyone. And I have Budos on the board. So, AP,
yes.
Please read for us.
Yes, we will. This is Tea Leaves by Budo, and it goes a little bit like this. Wind up ceramic tea spout of mystical blue-blooded proportions, encoded with orange pekoe. Academia's spewing forth trade winds to billow the cloth sails of fate, an organic foretolding of adventures yet unbeholden. Tales of the wooden man fleeced, in avian quandary, who nosed no lies, yet could speak no truths. The sword of Ozymandias, fraught with forgotten epic battles, of conquest and retreat, on the high seas of despair. Of the peg-legged mouseketeer who bravely prevailed over nature's anger on the narrow brim of disaster with diamond-studded dagger held high. The cowardly court jester skulking in the shadows of others' reality who hoodwinked snaked evil from the Garden of Eve. Of sea creatures that knew only hunger for revenge and spite and met fetish with famine. And the elusive bird of prey that fomented fervour and fury on the travelling bands of seers and ravaged many a voyager's dreams. All fantastical stories conjured up onto a fiery brimstone plateau, etched out by the myriad souls of those lost in purgatory, forever encased in aqueous consciousness, a swirling fermentation of the conjured, held firmly by a christened cup of charmed and cherished chronicles. End poem.
Great read, thank you. Wow,
yeah.
Cheese. Wind up ceramic tea spout of mystical blue-blooded proportions encoded with orange pekoe brewing forth from pachydermia's tusk. That wording there is brilliant. Spewing forth trade winds to billow the cloth sails of fate and organic foretelling of adventures yet unbeholden. It's got like this mix of whimsicalness, but it also has some of the words make it feel more serious or historical or something, like the tales of the wooden man fleeced in avian quandary. How cool. What's that? Of the peg-legged mouseketeer who bravely prevailed over nature's anger on a narrow brim of disaster with diamond-studded dagger held high. I mean, the images here are off the hook. And, I mean, look at all the – there's so much going on in his photo, and he seems to have captured every little nuance in one way or another with a nod to it. Like the hoodwinked snake evil from the Garden of Eve. I mean, really, really cool. Of sea creatures that knew only hunger for revenge and spite and met fetish with famine. Really cool. Like I said, that part there gave me that, like it was a tale from the past and not something that he made up. But I keep going back to that, to the peg-legged musketeer. It just, for some reason, it strikes me so funny. I'm picturing him, you know, what was it, Steamboat Willie or something, and I'm picturing him one there with a peg leg. I mean, it's just, I think it came out really cool. And the fact that he put fantastical stories conjured up, I really like that too, into a fiery brimstone plateau. So, I mean, the wording here is really, really clever. Thank you, Budo. I appreciate the write, and it's good to see you, and it was great to hear the poem. Fantastic work. And AP, you read. What did you think?
I think he did a wonderful job with the image. I mean, I think that the images, and the images, full stop, have been really interesting, Deb, so great choices. But I think he got really captured by the image and got really inside the image. And I think just there was a real playfulness and energy and enthusiasm that came out of the right, and clearly loved the image, and it showed in the poem.
Yeah. I agree. And again, I appreciate your reading, and you had said 40 minutes, so I think I've used them all up, but I appreciate you calling. Thank you so much.
No, pleasure, Deb. Thanks. Thanks for the images. Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
We'll see. Okay. Cheers, guys.
Thanks.
See you, AP.
Hatter, what did you think?
I love the way he, first off, of the pachydermia's tusk, just the wordage through here, a couple of places. And AP read this next name without pausing, without anything. Oxymandias, like he knew what it is. What is that? Is that a sword of Oxymandias? Mandias, Oxymandias.
Ozymandias.
Okay. I never heard that before. Is that an actual? Must be. AP read it right over the top, so it has to be. But Wizard of Words. You know, very well put together. It was good to read you again. Thank you.
Awesome comment, and David.
Well, I was pulled down to the third stanza, Tales of the Wooden Man Fleeced in Avian Quandary, who nosed no lies yet could not speak truth. Nosed, N-O-S-E-D, no lies. That really screams of Pinocchio. You know, I don't know if that's where he was going with it, but that's what it was. This character, Ozymandias, I think he was some sort of a Mongol or something. I'm not sure. You know, this big old sword in the background, I think, might have had something to do with his inclusion into this poem. This whole thing is just amazing the way it's written. I saw this prompt as well, and I thought, boy, that'd take me till doomsday to write this one out because there's so much going on in it. You know, wow. I mean, and he did it so well. You know, Bud's a great writer. He really is. And so, really a cool write.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, I like that picture, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah, he's a fun artist, don't you think? I might – he had so many to choose from that I – sometime in 2023, I'll probably do another show from him because, I mean, like I said, he's really clever and he's got quite a few more to pick from. So, and as amazing as the poetry came out tonight, I'd be silly not to at least do one more. Anyway, okay, guys, so here's where we are. We have three left. I have a brevity from JCA, and then I have two recordings. So I'm going to read for Jay, if you guys would just click on his link. I think I just put it on the board. I did.
Candy bag. Candy bag, man. Candy bag hag.
This is Candy Bag by JCA. And here we go. Those blackberry birds and the charcoal cats mock over the lemon parfait clouds as I squiggle around, like the vanilla rat in the chestnut maze. Stark fire sizzles the edges of my seashell skull. Halloween cartoons smash pumpkins against my olive leather skin, laughing and mocking at the fluorite tricks slipped into my hand. Decorated brown candy bag, and all I do is beg for more. And poem, that's cute. And all I do is beg for more. It's like from the trick or treat bags perspective. Like you know, and if you notice on the side there, this is he scored a 10 with this, and it's 66 words. And I've said this before a time or two or 10. It really is harder to get 10 with brevities. So to be able to put, usually, you know, it's racking up the scores of the, quote, great words to get the 10s. So to do it in so few lines and so few words is skill. And that's one thing about JCA. He's always been a really, really good brevity poet. And racking up the 10s with the brevities is proof in the pudding type of thing, you know. This is really cool, Jay. I like the images and especially the little giggle at the end where he's begging for more. I would have never thought to go in at this from the perspective of that candy bag, but it came out really, really well. And that's part of what's so much fun about tonight because everybody pulled these perspectives unexpected because you look at some of this art and you're thinking, what the heck would you do with that? And but we do every week, show after show, night after night, you blow me away. What do you think, Hatter?
Yeah, I like. I liked it. am I unmuted? Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you now.
Yeah, the when he used the sizzle. I thought that term, you don't sell the steak, you sell the sizzle, right? No.
And to beg for
more, the little thieves, because that's what it is. It's teaching them extortion.
Extortion, huh? You know what's funny? The word extortion is longer than the poem, and the poem scored a 10. And Arthur Rank would hate the word extortion. just sarcasm. But no, I do. I really, really think it's cool how he approached it from the bag. I mean, I'm going to have to save it. It was really, really totally fun. All right, we got the two left. So let me get the link. Thanks for the message, David. And here comes the link for Raconteur. And I'm putting that on the board right now. And then after that, the last poem of the night is by Phil the Poet. So if you click on Raconteur and let me know you see it, I will push play.
I got it.
Yep.
David? Okay, here we go.
Whatever Became of the Seven Dwarfs by Raconteur. The seven dwarfs, now obsolete because of modern technology, find themselves examining their ideology. quite frankly, their lives have turned out quite crappy. The fact is, 6 out of 7 dwarfs are not happy. Which is probably a good thing, because he's a suspected serial killer. All Donald's nephews and Daisy have gone missing, and their feathers were found in his pillow. Sneezy got infected with coronavirus and is now under strict quarantine. Bashful has taken up stripping in a misguided attempt to boost his self-esteem. Sexual harassment cost Doc his license, and then he got high with the wrong hoe. It turned out she was undercover, and he got busted for selling her blow. Sleepy got into a horrible wreck after getting hammered one night, and Grumpy's laid up next to him in the hospital after getting crippled in a MMA fight. Dopey lost their licensing rights in an illegal card game and their remaining assets in a mutual fund disaster. Getting disavowed by Mickey for ruining Disney's reputation and killing any shot of living happily ever after. End poem.
Yeah, it's a good thing that I was muted, because I've heard this before and I still cracked up as he was reading. My goodness, between the sexual harassment, no, wait, was it it was misconduct, right? I'm getting ahead of myself here. Where'd the doctor go? But like each one, it was, okay, sexual harassment cost the doc his license and he got high with the wrong toe. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And back further. Quite frankly, their lives have turned quite crappy. The fact that 6 out of 7 tours are not happy. I mean, he had fun with it. And like I said, it's one of those that are just so funny that you laugh the next time. And I was just looking. I already have it on one of my lists. Well, two, but the one is all his recordings for the shows. But, man, Sneezy got infected with coronavirus, and now it's under strict quarantine. I mean, it's got little pieces of current activities to make it feel more plausible, and then enough pieces that, you know it's the seven doors at all, but I think that he did a hysterical job with this. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I thought this was pretty interesting, really. What a neat idea bring the seven dwarfs into the 21st century, you know, like he did, and do it with humor, you know. I had to laugh listening to him read it here. I agree with you on that one stanza. Sexual harassment caused Doc his license, and then he got high with the wrong hoe. turns out she was an undercover, and he got busted for selling her blow. That's pretty clever. You know, a lot of clever stuff in this poem. It's cool. It's really cool.
Totally agree. Thank you. And Heather, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm going to guess that he had difficult deciding not to make Dopey the drug dealer. But then, I don't know, it was funnier in my head.
It's funny.
He did a good job using the characters. I didn't ever thought of doing the dwarves that way. We did try renaming them, because there were other names for what would they be, but I never thought of individual occupations. That's pretty imaginative. Good job. And compliment.
Awesome comments, you guys. And the last poem of the night is by Phil the Poet. And I posted the art that he wrote to right above his link. So if you click on that and shout out when you see it, I will push play.
I got to refresh. Hold on.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, I'm running down the hall. I'm running down the hall, and I... Oh, nice picture. Oh, good picture. Okay, got it.
Cool, here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Two Little Lovebirds. See them cooing like two little lovebirds, lost in a strawberry dream, so absurd. She all gooey-eyed in jasmine pajamas, while he reads poems about baby llamas. Caught in a goldenrod honeymoon romance, trying to capture every moment by chance. Young love, not yet quite mature enough, learning to take the smooth with the rough. Dizzy in the haze of lovers struck by Cupid's arrow, hallucinating heart shapes from deep in the marrow, drunk on the emotions of love, they giggle madly. In this mad, made-up world, they would live here gladly. She cannot even sleep when he is not there. He sketches her hazel eyes, her locks of raven hair. Sad in a world without love like Romeo and Juliet, she kisses tenderly the outline of his silhouette, placed on the cover of poems filled with lilac chairs. The dream has faded like a ghost through the years. Parting is such sweet sorrow. Oh, to live those days again, when two little lovebirds sang in the summer rain. End poem.
Wow. He's got a nod to quite a few in here. Romeo and Juliet. Cupid, by hitting them with Cupid's arrow. Two Little Lovebirds. The title is really cute. And the art is, wasn't sure if anyone would choose it because it's just the birds. And then you figure, you know, what are you going to do with it? But he did a fantastic job. Caught in a goldenrod honeymoon romance, trying to capture every moment by chance. Young love, not yet quite mature enough, learning to take the smooth with the rough. The smooth with the rough is a really, really clever way to, you know, the good with the bad and like a play on words there. So I really, really like that. And dizzy in the haze of lovers struck by Cupid's arrow, hallucinating heart shapes from deep in their marrow. He's got a clever rhyme pattern going on there. It's like A-A-B-B. So the rhyme scheme was fun. The content, her locks of raven hair, sad in a world without love like Romeo and Juliet. I mean, it's just, and you know, there was something in his voice when he read this time. I don't know. For some reason, there was an undertone of sadness to me. I guess you cannot even sleep when he's not there. So, like, you know, you can, somebody's desperately missed right there. Placed on the cover of poems filled with lilac tears, the dream has faded like a ghost through the years. So, I mean, there's quite a few different emotions that pull through here. But it's what I've come to expect from Mr. Phil the Poet, because he always writes an amazing poem, no matter what kind of photos we throw at him. But I mean, I'm in awe of all of you week after week. It's mind-numbing to think of some of the stuff you guys come up with, and Phil's a really awesome example of that with this poem. Great share, Phil. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And let me get you a couple comments. David, you want to go first?
I'm muted.
Dave, are you muted?
Yes, I was. Damn this mute button anyway. Anyhow, I thought this was an amazing poem. The rhyme and meter in it were perfect. Writing to such an abstract banner picture blows my mind the way he did that. She cannot even sleep when he is not there. Her sketches, her hazy isle, her locks of raven hair, sad in a world without love like Romeo and Juliet. She kisses tenderly the outline of his silhouette, Yeah, there is a sadness to this, for sure. And, you know, it's a longing that he wrote into this, especially in that fourth stanza, placed on the cover of poems filled with lilac tears. The dream has faded like a ghost through the years. Wow, that's a pair of lines for you. Gee whiz. It's a really, really a beautiful poem. You know, it shows a lot of work and effort in putting it together and a lot of thinking in it. So beautiful, I think.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, I noticed that in his voice, too. I looked at it as he was more into character. So it means he's more comfortable reading is what I heard. It seemed like along with his writing, maybe he's just getting more comfortable with reading for us. I don't know. But he never lets us down. I'm trying to question, what do you think Phil the poet does for a living?
Boy, I don't know.
I'm not sure if he's mentioned. The only thing I do know is that he somewhat recently got a new job. I don't know if it was in the same field or not, but I really don't remember.
Yeah, I'm just guessing. I don't know either. But his history, I would assume, comes from a blue-collar off of a farm or something more rural. That's just an impression I get by how he writes about certain things. And I could be way off. Probably am, but just the way he writes about scenery and describes the outdoors seems to me to be more that he comes from that world. Maybe I'm wrong. But
well, I know that once had her. Well, I know that he listens to our comments and stuff. So when he does, maybe he can drop you a note and tell you what he does for a living just to soothe your curiosity then. We shall see.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, if you guys take a look on the chat wall, I just posted the topic link for my show for next week. Next week is the Halloween show, and I've got really cool stuff to choose from. First, you choose some quote or lyric to inspire your muse. And just for an example, you know that Vincent Price reads during Michael Jackson's Thriller song? That's one of the prompts. There's a part of the Monster Mash by Bobby Pickett. There is a quote from The Nightmare Before Christmas. There is lyrics from the song Monster by Eminem and Rihanna. There's that little song, 1, 2, Freddy's Coming for You from Nightmare on Elm Street. There's some lyrics from Demons by Imagine Dragon. There's something from William Hughes Mearns. There's something from the movie The Omen. There is a chunk from The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. And then the last thing is also a quote from a movie, the movie Halloween. So read those over and let one inspire you. And then I've got some really cool stuff to choose from. There's like this freaky underwater alien chick, and there's a bloodthirsty chick, and there's sort of a dragon with dreadlocks, but not really, like an octopus head, but not really. I mean, it looks like there could be some fun, and there's even a beautiful, beautiful woman that could be leading Dave to a dark mother, right? Or there's the, what's that plague thing with the beak, the plague, Dr. Plague or whatever, but in space. sort of setting. So I think, and then there's even a Mad Hatter skeleton with his hat on. So, I mean, I think everybody should have some fun with them and take them anywhere you would like. And I'm looking forward to see what you bring.
Hey, are you ever going to just do...
What?
You're going to do... do like the one picture and to see the different ways people interpret it. You don't like it that way, though.
No, you know what? I'll see if I can. I'll find a way to do one where the picture is just that good because I like giving them a lot of choices.
Yeah.
But you've been wanting me to do that for a while, so I'll try to figure something out for that. But
cool.
In the meantime, I want to say thank you to my amazing board members, AP and Hatter and Sweet. You guys rock. Appreciate you very much. And thank you to the readers, writers, commenters, Kay and Steven and Rec and Tor and Budo and JCA and Titus and Bill and Mr. David Prophet. And speaking of Mr. David Prophet, when my Halloween show kicks off next week, it will start off with a instrumental called The Vampire Queen as played by Mr. Dave Prophet. So you have that to look forward to as well. And in the meantime, Hatter, you know how you're always wanting to have something playing in the background? Well, I have a couple instrumental clips also from David that we can put on low in the background door in Hatter's jukebox. I have a few ideas for some of them. So we have that there. And on that note, don't forget to tune in to Sweet Pea Show tomorrow at 10 p.m. And then, exciting, on Wednesday, Crystal is back. She's feeling much better, and she's going to do some open poetry. And then on Thursday is Raconteur, and I happen to know that his topic is the moral of the story. And I know that everybody has at least one poem where, you know, there's a moral of the story. Or you could write one for them, but that'll be great. And then on Friday is the Man Cave with Stephen and Hatter. And you never know what those guys might talk about. So that's 11 p.m.
Boo. Boo.
And we're off on Saturday because AP will be incognito. But we'll be back for Halloween on Monday to hear David's instrumental. So we are going to shut down, and I am going to take us out of here with a little group that we've talked about many, many, many times because Hatter likes them so much, and he's got me listening to them too, and that would be Shine Down, and her name was Alice. Love and respect, everyone. Good night.
My dear,
through the window.
If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't.
I invite you to a world where there is no such thing as time, and every creature lends themselves to change your state of mind. Chased the rabbit, drank the wine, and took the pill. Has locked herself in limbo to see how it truly feels to stand outside your virtue. No one can ever hurt you, or so they say. Her name is Alice. She comes into the wind.
Good night, Alice.
Night, Adam. Thank you. Night, everybody. See you tomorrow at Sweet Pea Show.